Whether you're starting or scaling your company's security program, demonstrating top-notch security practices and establishing trust is more important than ever. Vanta automates compliance for global frameworks like ISO 27001 and SOC 2, and the latest European frameworks like the EU AI Act, DORA, and NIS 2, saving you time and money while helping you build customer trust. Over 8,000 global companies like Synthesia, Flow Health, and Cora use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Wondery listeners get a special offer of $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/wondery. That's vanta.com/wondery for $1,000 off.
My name is TJ Raphael. I'm the host of Liberty Lost, a new podcast about who gets to be a mother and the control of young women hidden behind the veil of faith. Binge all episodes of Liberty Lost ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Hello and welcome to Watch Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the wonderful and lovely Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Well, hello, Ben.
Well, we made it. We made it through the Mounting Hysteria tour. Thank you to everyone who showed up both on Thursday, including Zach Wickham from the Valley,
and Hannah Ferrier from Below Deck Mediterranean.
Yes, and Hannah. We had a tremendous show to close out the tour at the Fonda Theater. It was so fun. We had a great after party at the Kookaburra Lounge, and it was just a great way to go out with a bang with probably the best tour we've ever had. So thanks to everyone who supported us both that night and every night on this journey. It's been great. But now we get to relax and enjoy some nice time at home, just recapping shows. We just recorded a recap of Love Island. That's over on Patreon, patreon.com/watchforcrappens. We recapped the past few episodes of that, and lots of fun, lots of hot takes. Loving that show. And also Patreon, you can watch Crappens on Demand, where you can watch us, not just listen to us. Those videos are exclusively on Patreon for a week, and then they're released on our YouTube channel. So go join us over there. But guess what? The tour's over. We've got nothing else to announce, except we will be on Jeff Lewis tomorrow as well. So go listen to that, because we love going on there, and we always have a great time on Jeff Lewis's show. So that's it. Today, it's Atlanta. Ronnie, thoughts? Feelings?
Atlanta.
Emotions?
It's almost over. Next week is it.
Next I know, can you believe it?
It's the big ending of Atlanta. Let's see where it goes.
Yeah, the big Atlanta finale is next week. So why don't we dive into last night's episode? We start off and Shamia is with her kids, and Shamia's singing because she's still trying to make that pop career happen. So she will sing wherever she can, you know, make sure people are listening.
Yeah, she's really, you know, she's really going for it. She's singing with her kids. She's like, I know something's wrong, so I'm waiting for you with my... Okay, take it over, kid. And she's like, T-shirt on, I got your T-shirt on. Take off my clothes. You know what? I have to do laundry now because I'm already upset with you and now you're wearing my T-shirt. Now I'm going to have to launder that again. I only have so many T-shirts. Get out of my clothes.
Yeah.
That's going to be my single. Stop wearing my clothes, especially if I'm mad.
It's bad.
I'm going to make Bueller finish the song for me. What's the next line?
She's like, woof. Yeah. That's all he does. That's all he adds.
Yeah. He's just got a nice snore like he's doing right now. So the producer is like, why is your child's face so greased up? And she's like, well, when I was a child, my mom greased my face up. And look, I have perfect skin. Okay. I can leave the house without foundation. That's why I keep my kids greased up. Grease up your children.
I don't know. I feel like there are a lot of people on the up, like especially on this show, who could probably leave the house without foundation, and they probably did not have their faces greased up. I mean, look, do what you want to do. But there's a lot of, I actually never even noticed that she was so greased up. And now that they've said it, I can't stop looking. I'm like, oh my God, she is greased up.
I love that. The stuff your mom does to you. My mom was the opposite. Right? She's like, you know what you should do? Go outside and stay in the sun with nothing on your skin. Cause that's what we do in the 70s and the 80s. You know, that's how the moms were. They were like, yeah, sun. I love sun. They're like, we should be out. Sun's good for you. You need to be in the sun 8 hours a day. And now people my age are like, oh my God, how do I inject salmon sperm into my face? Our mothers did that, you know? So we should be grateful that Shamia is giving good advice to the children.
My brother was my skincare expert. So when I hit puberty, he was like, okay, this is what you have to do. First, you take Seabreeze, which I don't know if they even sell Seabreeze anymore. It's like an astringent. It's like you take it, you put on a cotton ball, and you rub it on your face. And then once you've done that, you add Clearasil. But the thing is that what I didn't know as a kid is that like the astringent takes off all the oil, and then you're just basically opening up your pores and just shoving Clearasil into it. You use one or the other, but you don't use both. And so then I had terrible acne because, you know, I was following the dermatological advice of my brother, who was only, he was also like, didn't know what he was doing. He was a teenager. But the thing that's sad is that I just assumed, oh, that's how you do it. And I did that until I was 30 and I had acne. I had bad acne for like, I would say a solid 17 years. I just always had, because then you have bad acne. So you're like, oh, I got to do more of it. So it's like more astringent, more Clearasil. So I had a whole different skincare journey.
Yeah, we didn't have TikTok back then to teach us. You know, we had, like, I had a Lebanese grandfather and my Jiddi, and he would just say, you have a pimple? Put toothpaste on it. So I would put toothpaste, and it actually worked. And then his other thing was, if you feel sick, drink Listerine. Trust me. And so we've been doing that. We still do that in my family.
You drink it. You don't just gargle it. You drink it.
Yeah, you drink it. Because supposedly the alcohol or whatever there is in there, if it kills germs in your mouth, I guess his thinking was if it kills germs in your mouth, it'll kill germs in your body. And so we still do it. I don't know if it works. I'm sure it doesn't. I'll probably die. But, you know, I don't have any zits.
That's good. It feels.
So there you go. Thanks, Jiddu.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at these home remedies. Speaking of doctor remedies, they're in the doctor's office for Shiloh. So everything, Shiloh gets a good, you know.
She's a good prognosis.
She's like, well, yeah, prognosis. The doctor's like, Shiloh did great. I held her. I accidentally dropped her on the floor because she is greased up. So you probably should warn me next time you hand me a child that you've covered in grease. But otherwise, she's got a cast on now. But otherwise, she's doing great.
Yeah.
And then Shiloh, the doctor goes, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the doctor goes, she's doing great this time. I was like, damn, this is a threatening doctor.
Yeah. Cause Shamia had strep throat and then she was afraid that Shiloh was going to get strep throat. And then but then she's like, maybe I got it from Shiloh. It's the sort of conversation you have with someone when you meet them for coffee. Like, how's it going? Oh, well, I think I had strep throat. And I was worried I gave it to my daughter. But it turns out I didn't have it. That's the sort of, like, level of this sort of storyline. But it's being elevated to full-on A story for Shamia. Like, okay, cool. Love it. Very exciting stuff.
Yeah. So then we go over to Phaedra's house. And this storyline is for you. I feel like the producers are giving this to you because you've always loved Phaedra's kids, and now one of them is at a sewing machine. He's living the journey, man. It's like he doesn't even know you, and he's following after his auntie.
He really is. And I was like, I don't want to be the annoying person who's like, oh my God, he's sewing just like me. Because the thing is, like, I sew, but I don't, they're like, there are, I guarantee there are people in our audience that sew way more than I do. And I'm not going to act like I'm someone who's like sewing every single weekend, yada, yada, yada. But when I did see it, I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. I was like proud of the little guy. And honestly, I was massively impressed. I mean, this kid has more fashion sense than almost anyone on Bravo. He was in his little outfit. I was like, oh my God, he's so stylish. And he made these pants and the pants were good. And like, Phaedra has like, I got him a fashion mentor. I was like, that's actually super cool. Like, that's awesome that Phaedra did that. Like, that is very impressive. And he is so talented. And then Aiden's there and Aiden's 14. And it's just like, it was a lot to take in. Like, these kids are great.
It was pretty cute. And Aiden's already, you know, planning on just living off this kid for the rest of his life. He's like, I'll be your manager. That's my talent. Mm-hmm. So whatever you do, I'll just take some money off the top. It's like, yeah, you get 1.5% of whatever I do, yeah, you little bastard. And Phaedra talks about, you know, well, I'm doing this for my children because I believe in entrepreneurship. You know, I'm a funeral director, a Reiki healer. What else is she? She's got a lot of stuff going on.
Lawyer, yeah, jazzercisist, part-time overplayer.
Donkey booty enthusiast. Was she donkey booty? She was donkey booty, right?
She was donkey booty and because Kenny was
stallion booty. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, she does all this stuff. And then Dylan is like, basically she's grooming these kids to like start like a fashion imprint. Dylan will be the designer and what's his face? Aiden will be like the business manager. And yeah, she wants them to be like little gentlemen. And she's like, I want them to understand integrity and work ethic, which is why they're not allowed to watch this show.
Yeah, and it started
or be near Drew Sidera.
It started because Phaedra's telling us Dylan loves fashion and he wanted bell bottom pants. And I said, they don't even sell those anymore because they're so hideous. But if you can make them, and he did. And so I bought him a factory in Asia somewhere and we put their children to work as well. I believe in child labor, which I do too. You know, I'm a huge fan of child labor. So I love the storyline. I think it's great.
Yeah. So he, like, she got him a sewing machine and he started sewing and he like took to it. And now he just like sews and he has a guy who stands over him with like a little tape measure around his neck, but he makes like legitimate pants. And he, like, honestly, his little outfit, he looked like he was a Project Runway contestant because he was wearing the sort of outfit that, like, a Project Runway contestant would wear. I was like, this is wild. I didn't even know children could be this fashionable.
Yeah. And then she announces that she's going to tie this in with her own fashion thing because, of course, she's got fashion. She's like, you can come to the vault. You know, we've got all the furs. While we're talking about child labor, let me also just talk about how much I love selling fur from animals. I'm just... Yeah. Really trying to win America back as much as I can. I'm just going to put as much problematic shit as I can into this scene.
If this little boy manages to get a fashion label up faster than Sheree Whitfield, I will laugh. Because yeah, he will. This will happen.
Well, Sheree's fashion much faster label is still just right. T-shirts with her taglines on it. It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just Zazzle, so, basically.
Yeah. So she's going to have this fashion show and invite the ladies, and she wants a pair of pants. And he's like, no, we're good. She's like, you're a hater. So then we go to Kelly. Guys, I don't know if you've heard about this. Kelly's getting divorced. Let's go to the Kelly countdown, divorce countdown.
Yes. So she's saying she has every single emotion going through her because this is their final court date of the divorce. This is it. This is the end. They will absolutely be divorced by the time she gets home today. And there's no way they won't be divorced. It is going to happen. Every financial matter, custody matter, division of assets and property. She is ready to restart her life and she will because the divorce is finally over.
Divorce isn't over, but you know what? At least we have a sprinter van. So it's a sprinter van for all of her team. Yeah. Kelly's, you know, one thing I think Britt was right about Kelly was like, why do you need the stylist, like line of people everywhere you go? It does get a little much. Like I'm going to court. So I need a sprinter van with 10 people in it to get us all the court.
Is the court in Vail? Are you going on a Real Housewives of Salt Lake City trip right now? Like, why are we in a sprinter van?
Yeah, this was the least fun dramatic sprinter van trip we've had. Like, stop fucking with sprinter. Bravo is known for its sprinter van drama. You can't come on here with boring sprinter van shit.
No.
Okay, you're bringing really down can't. The show. I don't care what anybody says. That is my opinion. I think Kelly should leave. I think this sprinter van scene was the final nail in the coffin for me. Because I've been like, I've been kind of like... okay with Kelly. I really liked her at first and I didn't really, and then I'm sick of her storyline. I'm sick of her wishy-washiness, but now this bad, you've ruined sprinter van scenes for Bravo and it's time to go.
Yeah. That's a strong point that you make there. She could have done more. And I like that she goes to the courthouse and it's like, cameras were not allowed into the courthouse. I was like, the audience didn't want to go in there anyway. Are we like, you're not like, don't act like you're stopping the masses from watching the content that they've been yearning for. And no one cares about this divorce. Okay. Just let us know when it's all over.
And she just gets back in the Sprinter van and she's like, well, that was a shit show. Women on Real Housewives of Atlanta get better lawyers.
Because yeah, I was every just time, about to say
this
that.
Is the second time this season. We had to see it with Kenya all the time. She had a shitty one, too. You all need better divorce lawyers because the men are getting away with way too much. I don't even know way what's going much. On in their marriage, but I know that he got put right back in jail after this, and you're still not able to nail that divorce down? Come on, man. Yeah, come get on. A better lawyer. Get Precious.
So apparently what happened was that they went overtime and they only like they had to have everything finished by noon and they didn't. So they need to file a continuance, which means they're going to be doing more of this later. So then she's at home with Lamont, her publicist, and then someone like rings the doorbell. So she's like, can you get that? I'm like, well, you get your door. But she's like, he's like, of course, I'll do it. So Shamia comes in and she's like, oh my God, my little baby. And they're hugging her and everything and consoling.
And then Angela calls. So the girls are being super supportive of her and stuff.
Yeah.
And then they start talking about how Britt has not called in even once. She might be out of minutes. I mean, this is Britt we're talking about. Are we sure her phone is turned on?
The insurance companies have suspended my phone minutes. Sorry. Angela asking about me being a whore as Cricket has canceled my phone. So it's basically what I'm suing you for $500 million.
And then we see a montage of how Kelly went out of her way to comfort Britt, you know, in the wake of the Kenya situation. And now she's like, well, and now not a peep, not a call, not a flower, not a candle, not nothing. I'm like, if you're expecting more than like a paperclip and some Tic Tacs from this lady, good luck.
And you also just got in a big fight about a stylist. So, yeah, she's not going to call you. And they're also acting like they've always been best friends. You've been best friends for 5 minutes. This is like a Love Island friendship. But they're like, oh, my God, that's like my best friend. I can't believe she's treating me like that. You've known each other 2 weeks, ma'ams.
Mm-hmm.
Both ma'am. And ma'am. So they're making a big deal out of this because Britt is an asshole. And so then we see Cynthia. It's invite time because we're going to have a thing to do. So Cynthia has a little black box on her doorstep and she's like, oh my God, what a gift. I can't wait to put this on my countertop.
Throwback to the days when I would just hang around at Kitchen Island. Yes, putting on the countertop. You are cordially invited into the Vault's Black Glove Shopping Affair. Phaedra, is this an event for buying black gloves or is that the branding? I'm a little confused.
Well, the Ivy Showroom is my best friend's shop. I'm her attorney, and we have a side business together. Yes, Phaedra. I love that Phaedra's representing someone who probably was like, I don't have money to pay. And she's like, guess what? We're going to have an event at your shop. We're going to sell some furs. I'm going to launder it through the mortician business. Everything's going to be fine. Don't you worry.
Yeah, seriously. And so everyone is trying on the gloves that came, I guess, with the gift. And Phaedra's telling us the fashion is going to be exquisite. Faux furs, real furs, chinchillas, chinchalas, and t'challa. And it's going to be everything.
Hamsters.
Gerbils.
Squirrels.
Cassowary feathers.
I forget what they're called, but those really long things that run all over people.
Ferrets. Weasels. Ferrets. What are they called? Stouts, not stouts.
Starsguards. The Skarsgård brothers.
Turtles. Hyenas.
So, yeah, it's going to be a very high class event. And she's locking the doors if anyone's not on time. Because who's late to a fur event for a lawyer client? That owes me.
Why are we locking the doors? Why are we locking the doors on this fashion show? Especially if you're so we're going to have a fashion show because we want to get word out about this fashion. But if anyone's late, we don't want to show them the fashion. I'm like, are you trying to publicize your shit or not?
Okay, so now Britt is FaceTiming Phaedra. You know, she's accepting the invite. Okay, so let's go to Williams-Sonoma. Kelly's having an event, guys, because she's a cook. And you can tell because she has her cooking book. We haven't talked about this since we originally looked up her cooking book at the start of the season. Her book is called Cooking with Kelly. And because Kelly is spelled with a K, she also spells cooking with a K, which is just like the dumbest ass marketing. Who let her do this? Oh, it's just stupid. No, it's not going to show up under any cookbook. People search for cookbooks with the C. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why that's because it looks like it says cooking. And yeah, I don't know why it has to be spelled that way. However, I did like that she had her event at a Williams-Sonoma. Like, that was actually very lovely. I was like, okay.
The synonymy has hit everybody. Williams-Sonoma was so grateful, too. Everybody who came in, they're like, we are so grateful you're here. Thank you so much for coming to Williams-Sonoma. Would you like to look at a $700 espresso machine? No? Okay.
Would you like to buy a spatula for $35? Okay, no. I mean, actually, say what you will about Kelly, but this event is at Williams-Sonoma, and then she had an event at a Balmain. She's actually had like name brand locations as opposed to, you know, like, well, Britt rented out like a chair at a country club and then like wouldn't make people eat. And she's doing like, you know, nice brands with hers. So, you know, Team Kelly on this one.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So, amen. Phaedra sees Charles with Angela, and she's like, oh, Charles, I haven't seen you in a million years. I heard you got married. So, who'd you get married to? Me. He got married to me. I didn't hear that one.
No. I've always known him to be a single man. But I heard you're cooking now. He's like, yes, I have. Yes, because apparently all of Atlanta has been fed by the corn cobs in your kitchen. So congratulations.
So Kelly's a brand partner with WS. That's how I call Williams-Sonoma.
Like, Sonoma.
Yeah, it's like huge. And this is her seventh event over there. Just like,
wow.
I guess great. So she welcomes everybody, and Kelly's like, yeah, you know, I just wanted to invite these three ladies who are here because it was just such a great bonding Grenada. I mean, we had so much fun. The first day we talked about how I can't wait to get divorced, so I'm not divorced yet. And the second day we talked about how I'm not divorced yet. The third day I said I'm divorcing today, and I wasn't divorced yet. So it was a good trip. So I'm hoping to make some divorce waffles.
Yeah, at long last, we're going to see Kelly make some waffles. It's only what we've been asking for all season. And by we, I mean, mainly me. I've been like, I want to see the waffles. But it's time. They're going to do a competition where Kelly versus Charles Oakley are going to make a waffle. And the rest of the women are going to judge it. So Kelly has brought a base waffle mix, which, well, I guess if she's selling the waffle mix, fine. But I mean, lady, we need to see you make it from scratch. And she's going to do a banana Foster's topping for her waffle. Okay. So she's going to work on that. And then we see that Charles is going to winds up doing ultimately like a fried chicken and waffle situation.
Yeah. And so they do that. And then is this when the guy comes over? Well, we basically,
it's like just
see
before
Charles.
That.
Yeah. We see Charles and Angela like having some, you know, beautiful relationship stuff. Mm-hmm.
He's basically like, you don't know what you're doing in the kitchen. And she's like, I know what I'm doing. He's like, well, you know how to walk around and into a kitchen, but
yeah,
that's bad.
Said, why are you trying to make it sound like I don't know my way around the kitchen? He goes, you can walk around one. She just looks at the camera like, and my divorce storyline is next.
Yeah. So, they are, Angela's asking like, so have you been Kelly since Grenada? How are you and Britt? And she's like, well, I guess kind of good. I haven't spoken with Britt since then. And Phaedra's like, but aren't you all best friends? She goes, well, we are very good best friends. Yes. Which is her way of saying, I fucking hate this bitch now.
Yeah. So Drew's like, something's not right in the waffle mix. Spill the tea. So now we're going to get the gossip. And Kelly's like, yeah, you know, I can't worry about it. I have to focus on me. So then Cynthia comes, and she comes to Britt's because Britt has taken Phaedra's advice. And she has decided to invite people over to her home.
Yes. And Cynthia's like, am I really in Britt's house? Have I made it to this house, honey? I'm actually just asking because it kind of just feels like it's the lobby of a hotel or a motel. I don't know. It doesn't really feel like a house. So Britt's like,
Peter gave me some really good advice and I decided to invite Mimal over.
So she's invited over Cynthia and Portia, who are probably the only people who want to ever film with her now. And Portia is saying, she's like,
I mean, I haven't slept since Grenada. When I knew that she was inviting me to her house, I was like, oh my God, this is the most secret invite I've ever received. Who could ever fall asleep with that, with the excitement mounting?
And they have to go downstairs into like a different room because that's like her party basement or whatever.
Yeah.
And Portia's like,
we have to go there. I'm like, my knees are gone from Grenada.
Cynthia's like, well, they should be. You torqued them to death. Poor knees. So they go down and start drinking and gossiping. And Portia's like, yeah, that trip was good. You know, everybody's on their good behavior. And Britt's like,
well, me and Kelly, we've been having a little situation. We've been utilizing the same team, like hair, makeup. But then come to find out, she told them that she doesn't want any of them to work with Britt.
They're her team. Stop stealing everything. You fucking stealer. Go find your own damn team.
I like also when she's like, I love when people, like, especially when dumb people try to sound like lawyers when they're in an argument with someone. So they're like, I'm going to take the higher road. And to take the higher road, I'm going to try to speak formally like a lawyer. Like, so that's Britt saying, we've been utilizing the same team. Just say you've been using the same team. You don't have to say utilizing because it doesn't even really feel the right. That doesn't feel like the right use of utilizing. We're utilizing the same team. Okay. Okay. Britt Edie, attorney at law. So she's like, yeah, like
she felt like she was getting the short end of the stick in Nashville.
And they're like, what? What do you mean the short end of the stick? You know, you guys both look great. She's like,
that's what I said.
And then Portia's like, did she think your outfits look better than hers or you were getting more of the looks?
Well, this Paris stylist who they're fighting about, someone on Twitter, the Jordan Annalise said, my theory is Britt's money is funny and Kelly knows she probably won't pay consistently and she doesn't want to mess up her established relationship with her glam team. And Paris writes, Britt pays well and promptly on time, despite what you may have seen on one episode. She's employed some of the best in ATL and never been an issue. She actually pays right before you leave her presence. That Apple Pay goes straight through. Dun, dun, dun.
Wow. I can't believe a makeup person is being messy. Can you? It's just astounding. It just inserting themselves in drama just to extend some their 3 minutes of fame. I've just never seen that from a makeup person.
Crazy.
They're just so normally discreet and just stay in the corners, you know. And they just want to come do makeup and not try to further relationship with a famous person so that way they can have the spotlight. So this is just wild.
Yeah. And by the way, Paris is wearing like Linda Dano shoulder pads, like these huge shoulder pads and a feather thing in their Twitter. And it says, while Kelly is, this isn't Paris. This is somebody, this is another tweet. It says, while Kelly is fake AF, why did Britt think it would go over well to have a staff meeting with people who are not a part of your official team? All that money and you can't get your own makeup artist at least? And Paris writes, but Kelly came to the meeting in the end drunk and Britt even Ubered her there. LOL.
What is that?
And and then someone, he'd like to reply that says, because Kelly don't got the funds and Paris liked it. Dun, dun, dun. So was Kelly not paying Paris? What happened? Because I know Britt's probably not paying Paris. How's Britt getting this money? Britt doesn't have money either.
Yeah, neither of them have money. I think all three of them don't have money, to be honest. Paris included. I guess Paris doesn't have to have money because Paris is the one who is like the servant, right? But like, yeah, neither of them have money. And Paris should just go chase after someone who actually has some funds to truly pay. Because I guarantee you, Britt, whatever money he's saying that Britt is paying, that's going to dry up very soon as well.
Yeah. And when you say go drum up someone with money, no one with money is going to want to work with you, your messy ass, criticizing someone who's supposed to be your client. So
and then there's
good luck.
That.
Good luck, sir.
And then there's that.
So now they're like, oh my God, you guys use the same stylist. And Cynthia says, you guys both looked amazing. God, do you remember that Hogs and Heifers trip? You both looked insane. You both looked insane. That stylist should have been fired right then and there. So Portia's like, is she upset that your outfits look better than hers, or like you get more looks? Like, what's going on?
Yeah. And Brittany is like, yeah, well, I don't know. And Kelly, she basically says, you know, I was very disappointed when I got the call from the team of the glam squad. The call from the team of the glam squad. So Brit,
I was utilizing the phone and I received a call from the team from the glam squad, and they told me that Kelly doesn't want them to work with me.
And Kelly is like, well, I absolutely told my styling team they could not work with her. If you have someone that is wanting every single person from your team down to your videographer, your photographer, your waffle iron greaser, your makeup artist, your stylist, your hairstylist, that shit's weird. It's giving, I'm really not that girl.
And Portia's like, well, listen, number one rule for frickin' frack, I'm both frick and frack, okay? There can be no jealousy. Which is hilarious coming from Portia. And so Britt's like, well, the stylist can't work with me, but now they're working with Shamia.
And everyone's like, what? Shamia? Shamia now has the stylist?
Which, you know, you haven't loved Shamia's styling either. So I don't know. I think Paris is bringing down this show.
I have not liked Shamia's styling at all this season. It's very, very matronly to me. It's like very ant forward, you know, which is like fine because ants can be ants, you know. But if you're trying to be a pop star, I'm like, don't come out dressed like an ant when you're.
They have a
like
very successful movie. I really enjoyed Ants. I was like, oh my God, ants steal things.
Yeah, I was really disappointed when I found out that was about insects and not about a bunch of people's ants. I was like, what? I thought it was gonna be like movie. I thought it'd be a movie where like ladies would drop by and then be like, well, it's great seeing you, and then leave and you see them a few more months.
I think that's what this show should be. I think this show should turn over to Aunties, and it should be all the old cast members kind of coming back, and it's about them, but they're kind of going to check in on the younger cast members. Mm. Like there's a whole other separate show going on, and they just have to come in and mentor them a little bit.
Yeah, because truthfully, this show is like we're really seeing some good chemistry with like Cynthia, Phaedra, and Portia. Like,
yeah,
every time they have a scene together, like the show really comes to life. So yeah. I do feel like that. Like we should really focus on them, and then add Angela too.
Yeah, so, real aunties.
Yeah, the real aunties of Atlanta. The real Auntlantas. Auntlanta.
So they're like, I thought you guys left and decided to. You know, be friends or whatever. And Britt's like, well, she said so many things. Like, she showed me text messages between the two of you guys, Portia, that said you were dealing with your divorce and your attorney and you need to deal with yourself. So I'm just sharing you with that I've seen your messages.
Well, yeah, you're a really good best friend. The second you get upset, you just go betray every damn thing. Britt, you're
absolutely.
You're a terrible friend and you're a terrible person. Go away already. I'm tired of you.
Really an awful person. And Portia's like, what? And Britt's like, yeah, it's Shamia's house. And then Portia's like, but there was chit chat about me afterwards. Cause you know, she and I had a conversation, right? And Cynthia's like, but you guys left your conversation like a clean slate, like a smooth kitchen island, right? You didn't start over? She's like, well, now it sounds like it was broken. So Britt, in an effort to like shit on her former best friend just because they're in like a stupid dust of a makeup artist is now going to destroy another relationship because that's just the way she operates. What a terrible
person. And Portia's saying, well, she's not even telling me what my attorney said. She's saying what I talked about with my therapist, and that's not cool, you know? So then we go back to Williams-Sonoma and they're still having this waffle, you know, competition or whatever. And then they're shit talking each other, Charles and Kelly. Mm-hmm. And then Angela's like, this is where she has the fight with Charles, where she's like, don't pretend I don't know my way around the kitchen. He's like, you can walk around it. So now it's time to taste the waffles. And there's the banana Foster topping. And Angela's like, wow, Kelly's has too many calories. She loses. Get rid of her. But no, they don't. Mm-hmm. They like them both. They're really good.
Yeah. Well, I think that they basically liked Charles's more, but they wanted to be loyal to their girl. So they were, because they were like with Charles, they were like, oh my God, this took me to my grandma's house. This took me home. Oh my God. There was something. Oh, and Kelly, yours was really nice too. Huh. I guess it was a tie. I'm like, no, you guys like Charles's more.
Yeah. It's because Kelly spells cooking with a K. I don't trust her waffles. She's like, does anybody want a coffle? Like,
oh. Coffle.
So they decide it's going to be a tie. And then a guy comes over, a messy queen comes over. And he comes
a messy queen that. A messy queen that no one would be there despite him already having a microphone on.
That was crazy. Yeah, he came with his own microphone. That's He's so like, convenient. Hi, loved the coffle, by the way. But so, Angela, I don't think you know me, but I know your husband. He's come to my restaurant, and I would like for us to talk just alone so I can tell you something you might not know, something she might know about her husband. I need to talk to her about her husband, everybody. And she's like, go away. She's who the like, fuck is this person? And who gave him the license to come speak to me?
But I know something about your husband. This reminds me of the gay that went up to Quad at that party and was like, oh, Lisa's husband is gay and I slept with him or whatever it was. But that was like an obvious setup by Quad, right? So Angela's like, I don't know who this is. Why are you talking to me, you mincing gossip? So Phaedra's like, what the hell was that about? She's like, I don't know. I have no idea. So they're all kind of like, what was that? Who was that thirsty queen who came in and tried to stir stuff up?
It's such sloppy producing. And it's so sad that they're trying this at the very last inning of the show, trying to make something happen. It's just bad producing. Who produced this season? Is this like one of the bad producers from Potomac or something?
Is it Eric Fuller around? Again?
is that Eric what his Fuller? Name is? Eric Fuller? Let's see.
I don't know. Later. I've said it before.
This is just some shoddy ass producing. Put a mic on some queen from a restaurant, have them come up to you at a waffle event at Williams Sonoma. Like, come on, guys, make an effort. And I love that Angela is such a pro already. It's season one, and she's like, no producers. I will not do this with you. Thank you.
Well, you know, I have my ongoing theory that I've said many times, but you know what? Why not say it again? Is that whenever there's a casting change mid-season or right before season begins, it fucks up everything. And we see it with this season, which was that it was really strong in the beginning and then it sort of like lost its way a bit post Kenya Moore leaving. And now they're sort of scrambling to sort of like fix it. They added Phaedra in. They're sort of like throwing the vacation. Nothing really happened on the vacation that was terribly interesting. So like, okay, well, we need to still like get this ending to do something. So like, here, let's throw in this gay who has some sort of gossip and like, let's go for it. And like, you know, this was not spontaneous because it just so happens that like the other ladies are sitting there just hanging out, doing nothing, waiting for Phaedra to call afterwards to gossip about this. So,
it's just so ham-fisted. It's just not subtle. It's very bad work. Very bad work. And Charles ignores it. I don't know if Charles didn't hear it or if he just doesn't care and he's not going to play into this nonsense. Because every time Charles agrees to show up, they try and bring him to some mess and he's just not having it. So he's ignoring it. And then Kelly's like, okay, well, let's just have a toast then. So we're both winners. But let's give it up for Mr. Oakley, though, for being here. So he is talking to the GM of the store who's like, oh my God, you are amazing. Thank you so much for being here. Please, please, do you know anybody that might want a mortar and pestle for $700?
Would you like a mixing bowl made of copper? That's $3,000. Please. I actually would. Do you have one? Oh, actually, we don't have any in stock. If you wait, I will order it for you if you want to come back in 10 days.
So Kelly comes over and she's cheering and cheersing and Marcus, the gay, is there. So he's like, well, I've got a cheers for us. And he's kind of being held back, right? Isn't he like kind of behind the group at this point?
Well, he's like with a group of gays and he's like near them. And he's like, cheers if your name is Angela and your husband's cheating on you. I was like, okay, you're just bad at this.
This is so
like, there's a way to be a messy gay on this show or on these shows. And you're not doing it right.
You're the worst, sir. You are the worst of us. Please sit down. You're embarrassing. This is still Pride Month that I had to watch.
Yes.
This. Shame.
Have some. Yeah. So Charles is like, whatever. He's just like making more waffles. Charles is he's focused. He's like, wait a second. I only made 3 waffles. That's not enough. I need to make 5,000. So he's like in the mass cooking moment right now.
You're right. He just never stops cooking. It's so funny. He's like, it's over, Charles. waffles. He's like, this is my Brussels sprout waffle.
Here's a corn on the cob waffle. Like, what? Must keep cooking. So,
and Pedro's like, honey, I don't know if the steam from the chicken is clouding his ears, but he does not hear or is not planning on responding.
So Kelly basically, she overhears the gay being messy, and she just has her security guard kick the guy out, which was good. She did the right thing. And she's like, yeah, I'm not going to be doing this. So then the producer says, you know, is there any part of you that believes that Charles might be currently stepping out on Angela? And Phaedra's like, I don't know what Charles is doing. I have no idea, but it's not against my religion to be, it's against my religion to be in people's business, honey. which is funny because Phaedra's the biggest gossip, and she literally goes and gossips to all the other women in like 5 seconds.
Yeah, so Angela's like, whatever. I mean, I'm afraid to even bring stuff to him because he's a pit bull and he'll tear his ass up. And since Madison Square Garden, he's been extremely calm. But baby, he does not play when it comes to disrespect, unless it's me, which this is just our love language.
Yeah. And Kelly's like, I don't know where this guy came from, but he was no friend to me. And me and Angela might not be the best of the best, but I do not do disrespect. So meanwhile, over at Britt's house, Mimosa is just like humping like relentlessly a leg and then a pillow and then another pillow. Like Mimosa's ready to go.
Mimosa's a one horny dog. That dog is humping everything. And so Portia, of course, gets a call from Phaedra. So she's like, ooh, ma, just hold on to your panties. Big T coming. By the way, have you ever had a Brussels sprout and something called a coffle?
I also like when Phaedra calls up, she goes, ah! And Portia goes, ah!
Yeah, people can say whatever they want, but this show really does come to life every time they're talking to each other because I was cracking up. So she's like, we are at Strawberry Shortcake's little cooking debut. And girl, some man comes up saying that he had a word for Angela. Your husband is cheating. And they're like, no way. No way. He's only the 19th person this season to say it.
Who said that? Portia's like, so what did Angela say? Well, she was visibly shaken by it, although it could have just been the waffle that her husband made for her that was made of Brussels sprouts and corn, and she was trying not to vomit. But Charles was looking right in front of them. And so Portia's like, oh, I knew he threw that pot of rice on his ass.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, my God, I can't believe this.
Yeah.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now it's time for Phaedra's event. And there's a model there. Phaedra sees a model and she's like, oh, my favorite little model, hot chocolate.
Yeah, it's the Black Glove Shopping Affair. And they're setting it up and everything. And Phaedra says she wants the ladies to show up on time because this is not a private event just for them. She has other very important guests coming. And when we put on a show, we really show out. So because it's such a public event, we are going to lock out the public.
I have people so important here that I'm locking the door. And if one of them is late, they're not getting in. Important people are late. So,
yes.
Portia isn't coming because her cousin Londi died, which is so sad.
So sad.
I love Londi. I know.
Yeah.
It's a bummer.
That's really so sad. So she tells Phaedra this, and, you know, she eulogizes her and says that she was such a loyal person and she was the most creative in the company. And she did a lot for her grandfather's foundation and just so honest. And we see some clips of Londi throughout the years, including this season. I totally forgot about this and so heartbreaking. So she's not going to come to this event, but the event will go on and go forward.
Yeah, so people start arriving and Kelly's like, wow, cute little showroom. Yeah, I've rented pieces before. Like, they'll love it. They love that. So the girls start coming in and Cynthia's like, did you book models or is this a Porsche shoot where we're the models and we don't know about it? Then we have to regram it on our own grams for $0. What are we doing today?
Yeah. And then Shamia's like talking to the security guard. She's like, are we safe? Are we safe, Kenny? Are we safe? And he's like, yeah, we're safe. She's like, okay, good. So just like more people are just like showing up. It's a lot of like, hey,
you know, also, and then, Angela showed up with security because they're like, wait a minute. Do you have, Cynthia's like, do you have security, Shamia? Is that your security guard? She's like, no, everybody else has it. Why would I even need to bring mine? Half this cast is security guards now. Jeez.
Mm-hmm. And they're asking Angela again about the guy. And she's like, yeah, you know, he initially came up to me and he's like, I want to speak to you and I want to tell you something about your husband. And Cynthia's like, and you did not know who this person was. She's like, well, I don't know him from, I don't know, bucket of paint. Yeah, sure.
So then Britt tries to make a big entrance. I'm just like,
hi, Kelly. Oh, Kelly's not talking to me. Hi, Kelly.
And Kelly's saying, you know, you went through a whole little situation with Kenya, and I brought a whole IV therapist for you and for Mike, and you're not bringing flowers or dinner over to my house, not even some of my own waffle mix. You could have bought it and given it back to me. You're not even there checking on me and the girls and all of this all over again. That's not my friend.
So Angela's like, excuse me, we're in the middle of a very interesting story here. And Britt's like, well, we're all going to have a lot of stories to tell, I guess. And Kelly's like, yes, I can't wait to have story time. So now these two are going to try and have like a big housewives blowout. Multiple.
Yeah. So now Britt has her grievance to tell us about. She goes,
I'm really disappointed in Kelly because it really didn't have to get to this point. If Kelly would have came to me and confided how she was initially feeling about her glam squad or whatever, we could have talked it out. But she's now a fucking hater, so it is what it is.
Yeah. So Phaedra goes to lock the doors. So by the way, no one is leaving this chinchilla event.
By the way, didn't Kelly keep this pretty private? I feel like Kelly has not been airing the glam squad beef very much. Like, she's been annoyed at Britt for like a few episodes now, and she's kind of kept it quiet.
Yeah, Britt's and the one keeps bringing it up.
Yeah, I got the sense that it was discussed kind of privately.
But I think she means she needed to talk to me and say she doesn't want me using her hairstylist instead of calling the glam team meeting. And say, I don't, saying it, you know? She's like, why don't she come to me instead of going to the glam squad?
Well, why don't you go to her to say that you were upset about her not coming to you?
You're both exhausting and boring. So they're going to have their first housewives fight, and it's kind of failing. So Phaedra starts the show. And so Drew's running late, and she's like, she better get here because the doors will be locked. So then Kelly continues the fight, and she's like, okay, well, you know, I'd open my event to the public, and with that come fans and people and just random people that RSVP to come. So I did not invite this person that started shit with you, Angela. And she's like, well, I did my own research to find out who he was because people do not play with me or my husband, and they decided to pay him a little visit. And I found out that he was paid to be there. Dun, dun, dun.
Angela saying she did her research. She basically asked the producer, like, who was that person? Did you guys plant this person? And like, yeah, we paid him. We paid him to be on the show.
That's what it sounds like, right? I mean, who would pay somebody to do this? This is crazy. Like, yeah, like, there's cares like some about Angela that much.
A shadow conspiracy where there's like someone else who's like hired the gay to do the dirty work.
Yeah.
It's very involved. So Angela is like, we are not the people to play with. And the producer's like, so are you like tied to the mob? She's like, no, I'm not tied to the mob. We're just tied to people who care about us deeply. That's all. Just people who just really enjoy a lot of corn on the cob. So they come
up. Now we have a mystery. Who paid this person to confront Charles at a Williams-Sonoma waffle event? All right, I got a package of money here. Here's where the drop is. You're going to go to a place called Williams-Sonoma's. All right? They're going to have really expensive ladles. Ignore those. Get the package. Get the package in. Do not get intercepted by the waffle security.
Now, the question, is this in Sonoma, actually, or is it just called Sonoma? It's called it. Go. So Phaedra, the thing is going to start. So Drew arrives 15 minutes late and she's like locked outside of this, like upstairs of this like strip mall. She's standing there. They're all dressed up and like on the outside, it's like this rinky dink place. So she's like, okay, well, there was so much traffic. I mean, I said there was like traffic. I mean, is there like an official here? Is it the president? I mean, there's so much going on. And she shows us that she did, in fact, take a video showing that there was traffic, which looked like there was a lot of traffic. Although, you know, as someone who has himself gotten into traffic and has shown up a little late to things, you know the truth, which is you can always look to see what the traffic is before you leave and plan for it. So sorry, Drew. The video does not help your case.
Yeah, and you're in Atlanta, which always has traffic, which you yourself just said. But it's still funny. And she's so used to being disrespected by this cast, honestly, that she's just like, whatever. I'll just hang out here. She just makes the most of her scene being in the hallway. She's like, oh, my God, does that security really guard have chicken? Is that chicken down there? And he brings her up chicken. She's like, oh, this is delicious. This is where the real party is up here.
Yeah, she doesn't even bother having like a diva storm out moment. Like, I can't believe it. She's just like, no, I know there's more free food inside, so I'm just going to wait. I'll wait 45 minutes.
So now, Drew, let's see, Kelly and Cynthia and all those guys. So Drew, sorry, let me skip Drew. So Cynthia's like, well, it's interesting that that guy would take time out of his busy schedule to come be at little old Kelly's event. And Kelly's like, yeah, who would pay him? You know, maybe the people that don't show up are the ones that did it, insinuating maybe it's Britt, because Britt had people to her house that day. So maybe Britt's the one that paid him to show up. Britt's not even paying. Britt doesn't pay for anything. She won't even pay for a chicken meal at her country club.
Yeah, Britt is not paying for that. So then Britt is like, well,
we were all at my house, if that's what you're implying.
And Kelly is like, wait a second. Britt let you guys into her house? And they're like, yeah. And Cynthia's like, yeah. And Portia too. Kelly's like, oh my gosh, she let Portia into her house? Finally. Britt's like, yeah, I did. And you know what? You can address me. I know that's kind of difficult sometimes, but you can address me.
She's like, well, I'm so proud of you. I mean, it's not really difficult. And Britt's like,
it seems like it is. You don't have to be passive aggressive.
Oh, I'm not passive. I'm aggressive.
Oh, well, I've never seen you aggressive.
She's like, don't play with me, Britt. Yeah, don't play with me.
Britt loves calling people passive aggressive when she herself is the most passive aggressive. Seems a little passive aggressive. Well, if you realize you're saying that passive aggressively yourself. So Cynthia's like, okay. You guys can have that conversation later. We are here to watch the photographer who did Nini's headshots 10 years ago walk in a fashion show. Okay.
They're like, Then they just start nonsense fighting, which is my favorite. When Britt's like,
why are you the big bad wolf?
And she goes, oh yeah, I'm the mighty wolf. Have you Fresh read wolf. That story? The waffle wolf.
No, you're not. It's a persona. That wolf is a persona.
Like, yes, of course. What, you think she's literally a wolf? Of course. Like, if you say I'm a mighty wolf, of course you're saying your persona is a mighty wolf. You're not saying I'm literally a mighty wolf. Like, guess what? Surprise. I have four legs and a tail now.
You're not literally a wolf.
So Kelly's like, oh, I'm insecure. And Britt's like, oh, she wants an audience. Oh my God, you two are trying so hard. It's so awkward to watch. I'm cringing watching this. So they're trying to have this big fight. And so Kelly's like, oh, well, you want to use my team. And she's like,
oh, the team that you begged for me to work with because you need a sidekick.
I hate to tell you this. If someone is begging for you to work with a stylist, it means that you look crazy. If someone's like, please.
It means you need to buy a belt. You know what I mean? My family's always begging me because my pants are always falling down. They're like, get a stylist, please. I'm like, or a belt, you know?
It means that you probably go out looking like Jackie Goldschneider's mom. Remember Jackie Goldschneider's like, mom, I need to get you a makeover. You cannot go in public looking like this anymore. It's like, you know what? I don't need to brush my hair. I don't want to.
I've earned it. So Britt says that Kelly was feeling insecure because she was second in Nashville when it was her entire idea to share a glam squad. Listen, she helped you out. She loaned you the glam squad and then you came in and tried to steal the glam squad.
Okay? Yeah. And what does this mean? She looked second in Nashville. They showed like people like walking in some sort of, I guess that was a competition when they were like walking on like a runway or whatever in Nashville. I don't know. This seems like a very tenuous claim by Britt Edie.
Yeah, so Kelly is like, well, you better talk to your motherfucking roommate, and you better talk to your pill-popping roommate. And she's like, oh, my God, girl, you're so cute. And Cynthia's like, oh, not pill-popping roommate, because she's telling Cynthia talk to your roommate because they shared the room or whatever.
Yeah, and then, I thought the roommate thing was like your husband's just like a roommate, like whatever.
Oh, because...
But I could be wrong.
Who did Cynthia room with in that trip? I already forgot. This show's trying me, I have to be honest. I forgot who she was rooming with. Was it Britt?
I don't.
No, it was
but then
Drew.
Like who?
It was Drew. Yeah, so I guess Kelly's... she must have been talking about the man. Yeah, you're right.
Because like who, but I don't know. She just says pill popping roommate. I don't really even understand the context. Like, we just know that it was a burn.
Yeah. So Shamia's like, wow, I didn't see this coming. But she's like bored. She's like, okay, whatever. So Phaedra's like, wow, she just offered me a little Advil PM. I mean, I didn't get the propofol Michael Jackson special.
So maybe it wasn't the husband. I don't know what was really happening. Just someone had pills.
But there's an accusation that she's a pill popper. So then Britt's
maybe Kelly wasn't talking to Britt. Maybe Kelly was talking to Phaedra and calling, said, you better talk to your roommate.
Yeah, she's
Phaedra
calling.
Phaedra was roommates with Britt, and she's saying Britt is the pill popper.
Yeah, she's saying Britt's the pill popper. I know that much.
We're really on top of it.
Because Britt's like, oh, yeah, I'm just like this show. I'm like, okay, just end it, for fuck's sake.
Go back to Williams-Sonoma.
We don't need a full season. If you've got nothing, you don't need to make this into 17 episodes, okay? Give me a solid 10.
So, I would have been much happier with Britt just walking around that with Kelly walking around that Williams-Sonoma just browsing for housewares. I would have been totally fine. 45 minutes of that, like talking about the spatulas, the bottle openers, the fish turners. Like, give me that, not this.
Yeah. So Britt's like, oh, really? She's not going to respect me? Then, baby, I'm going to lay the whole thing out. Well, the stylist said, you look like a mess, so keep it up, unless you want to talk about those abortions you had when you were married.
Okay, just go. For fuck's sake. Can we just air horn this lady in the head and then shoo her off? Like, at this point, get a fire extinguisher and just spray it in her face. I can't.
You know, just yelling at a fashion show where Phaedra's kids are just, like, around the corner about how Kelly had two abortions, something said in confidence, you're just going to yell it out. Like, what about those abortions you had when you were married? This is coming from the same woman who's suing Bravo for creating a hostile work environment while you're airing someone's like deeply personal like story that could have been very traumatic out in the public, to weaponize it in a stupid, petty fight about a stylist. And then you're going to go and sue Bravo and talk about hostile work environment. So yeah. I just got to say, this woman's full of shit.
Yeah, she's full of shit. And then, but then Kelly goes low back. She's like, oh, you can't even have a kid. So you can never be me, bitch. I'm like, okay, this is. I love that Bravo's getting sued, like you said, for problematic stuff. And I'm like, yeah, this sounds great. Leave all this in.
Yeah.
Leave an abortion and infertility stuff in. Sounds great. So Britt's like, nobody wants to be you, you little hobbit.
whoa. Let's leave J.R. Tolkien out of this, okay? So then Kelly's like, oh, get me out of here now. She thinks that's cute. So Shamia's like, well, you know how you felt with all the Kenya stuff? Yeah, you can't bring up the abortion stuff, okay? So remember, you're losing your credibility, right? That's the only thing that's kept you coasting through this season right now and kept us nice to you.
Yeah, but she obviously gets to Kelly because this is crazy. So Kelly's like being held back from people. And she's like, you whore-ass bitch. She's a hoe. Mm-hmm. And Phaedra's like, well, I don't know. I mean, something about an abortion and a marriage. Well, that's illegal after Trump. So you ain't got to worry about that no more. Probably can't even get any birth control.
So Phaedra goes, follows Kelly and just tries to calm her down. She goes, okay, take a deep breath. I'm a Reiki healer now, by the way. I'm a Reiki. She's like, I don't care about what you do with your gardens. No, Reiki's not that, but whatever. And Kelly's like, it's enough. And so she like tries to calm her down. And Kelly says, look, first of all, it's my body and my choice. Second of all, I got my tube ties after the twins, so I couldn't even make a baby if I wanted to. So then Phaedra's just like calming her down. She's like, this is a place of peace and we are going to film a sad scene in a moment. So just calm yourself down. You've got diamonds on your eyelids. You've got $10,000 boots.
Meanwhile Drew's still outside and she's just like, oh my God, camera person, those shoes are cute. Wow.
So Drew is like, can I get in? And so she starts like knocking. It's very much like Mary Cosby at the bat mitzvah. So she's like, hello, can I come in? And then the fashion show starts and they're like trying to redo like, and now this next person is wearing a faux chinchilla. And you just hear like a hello.
That shit was funny. So she's like, well, if I was there earlier, I never would have even seen that officer with the chicken, and the chicken was good and the officer's cute too. So that's where the real party's at. So finally they let her in because she's not going to stop knocking. And Phaedra's like, well, when we say six, we really mean six. Now, here come my children in crazy awkward pants. So the pants walk. And Dylan's so cute. They are crazy pants, though. But he walks the pants. And I'm so proud of those kids.
They're on trend, actually.
Yeah.
Big, wide pants are on. Yeah, they're on trend.
Bell-bottom cargos.
Mm-hmm. They are. It's crazy. These kids. So, I know. They can do anything. And Aiden gets up there and he's like, hi, everybody. How's everybody feeling? Hey, we're doing pre-orders right now on thestararchive.com. Get your pre-order now. there will be a lemonade stand afterwards. So then Phaedra's so proud. She's like, you know, my boys are my legacy. My goal in life is to give them a leg up. And I tell them that all the time. I want you to have a leg up. So put a big bell bottom on it because you will be your brother's keeper. And no matter what happens in life, you have him because I won't be here forever. And she chokes up. And I was like, this would have been the perfect time for them to play that little clip once again to make us all cry of, I'm always going to be your little baby. Remember Aiden in the back seat, and we all cried.
So now people are shopping and Shamia goes over to Britt and she's like, listen, this, you know, she's going through a divorce. Like, why can't you call or text her going through that? And she's like,
I can't be fake. By the way, my insurance license was suspended by, the president of Iran after Angela and Kenya lied about me. And also I paid for every meal.
You are the fakest person on this show.
Truly, truly. So then Angela, they're all looking at the furs and everything, and they like some things and not others. But then, so then the episode sort of ends on this awkward and sad note because Phaedra basically gathers everyone around and tells everyone that Londi died. And so Shamia is crying because obviously Shamia knows Londi because she's best friends with Portia. And other people are just like, Cynthia's shocked. You know, she's met Londi too. And it's just like they're all kind of like halted by it. And Phaedra's basically like, we have to really stick together and support one another. Stop, you know, weaponizing people's abortions against each other at a fashion show that my children are at. And then it just sort of ends on this like sad note, like RIP Londi. And it's true. RIP Londi. So next week is the season finale and we're going to see the gay try it with Charles Oakley, which will probably fail massively.
Yeah. Yeah, that should be good because I guess Angela decides the producers probably talked to Angela and were like, listen, we've tried to give you something and you said no. So you are going to have a storyline with this guy. Go find this man right now and confront him. Yeah. So I guess they're going to do that next week. So we'll see, everybody.
We will see. Thanks, everyone, for being here on this sort of like uneven, up and down, campy, serious episode. And we will be back tomorrow with some Below Deck and more Love Island. Goodbye, everyone. Oh, and Crappy Hours tonight. Crappy Hours tonight. I forgot to mention it. Bad host. Bad host. Crappy Hours tonight. Join us at 5:30, 8:30. Eastern to talk Bravo gossip on YouTube and Instagram. See you there.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
She can run my country. It's Angie McGovern.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
She gets an A, it's Kelly B.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a B in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson. Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
We're on the floor with Molly Dorsett.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Come on, shake your body, baby, do the Sydney Congdon.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
It's always a good time when you're wasting time with Bravo.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.